Hello, my name is Emma.
Hello, my name is Clarissa.
And welcome to day one of the Lockdown Diaries.
So, over the coming days, until we are released from this confinement, we'll bring you daily updates, offering our thoughts on the news on Corona or COVID-19, the anomalies surrounding it and other things we don't understand. We'll also be inviting our friends around Europe to participate. And tomorrow that'll be Andrew, who will be talking to us about the dog situation in Barcelona.
By way of introduction, as this is our first podcast, who am I, Emma, locked down with in deepest, darkest Sussex? Well, there's five of us in our large terraced Victorian house, my husband, my two teenage twins, and my older son of 22. Both my teenage son and me have ADHD, so we're already bouncing off the walls. And I'm actually hiding from him as we speak because he has pulled into the sitting room, the ping pong table, and he's looking for me in order to have a game. How about you, Clarissa? Who are you holed up with?
Oh, I'm holed up with, well, I'd love to say something really sexy and attractive, but I'm holed up with my husband of 25 years.
And well, that is sexy and attractive. Come on.
Very sexy and attractive, and my one of my sons who is home from university. I would say I've only got one son. You're right, he's home from university, and he's bearing up very well considering we are, you know, he's alone with his parents. And our daughter is coming back on Thursday, so she's going to even things out a bit from her university. And
and where's Joe at university?
He's at university in Rotterdam. And Cecilia is at university in the cradle of every statistic you ever read on Corona, which is Johns Hopkins, which is a medical university in the US. But anyway, let's start with the numbers. Well, in Switzerland, we have got 9,000 confirmed cases, probably a fraction of what it really is, and 122 deaths so far. And the UK...
Well, in the UK, we've got 6,650 cases, which is 3,000 less than you have, no, but under 3,000, 2,500. But we've got nearly three times the amount of deaths, 335 deaths.
Yeah.
What does that say to you?
I think that must be to do with the level of ICU care that the people who are suffering badly are getting. But that's a wild guess, because obviously I haven't got a clue. But I want to tell
you... Because you're better at testing than we are. Are you better at testing than we are?
Could be. No idea. I'm going to have to say I've got absolutely no idea. But I'm going to tell you what I wanted to start about talking about today. Is I think people are getting a bit heavy. Well, it is a heavy subject, but I've seen kind of people into economy and making business work saying maybe these viruses are sent to bring down the population numbers, and maybe it's just a way of actually, I think Dominic Cummings may have said something similar. It may be required that a certain number of older people just get wiped out by these pandemics. And so when you read that, you start to get very upset at the way people's minds are going. And that's when Bill Gates comes in, because he sent a great note round that went viral saying that this pandemic reminds us that we're all equal. And that is true, regardless of our culture, religion, occupation, financial situation, or how famous we are. I mean, who do we know who's super famous who's got this?
Tom Hanks and a couple of politicians.
Yeah. We need Beyonce to go down, because that would really...
Well, only if she comes back again.
Oh, she'll come back. She's like so young and super fit. But we need a couple of role models to go down with it and then bounce back up. But
What exactly did he say though, Bill Gates? Did you get the quote from him?
Yes, he said, it's reminding us that we're all connected, false borders that we've put up have little value, as this virus doesn't need a passport. And it's reminding us how precious our health is, how short life is, and why it's important to help people who are old or sick, and how important our family and home life is. And also the final thing I liked is it's reminding us to keep our egos in check.
No, okay, that is very good indeed. And in fact, there was something in the Times in a section called The Lowdown, which was actually moaning about all the celebs that are posting on Instagram and saying that coronavirus is the great equaliser, because death's a great equaliser as well, isn't it?
Oh, God. Well, that is true. I mean, that is a gloomy thought.
Well, just to lighten the tone then, Robert Crampton had a joke in the paper today, which is the first explanation for why the Brits are so obsessed with hoarding loo paper. Any ideas?
Let's hear it then.
Because when one person sneezes, 10 others shit themselves.
That is brilliant. Yeah, exactly. He's always good for a joke, that guy. God. Well, I tell you, another thing that caught my eye that I went looking for was I wanted to know how actually you catch this thing. I don't want to catch it, but you know, it's droplets that come out of your mouth at top speed when you cough. That's why you got to cough into your elbow. And there's a science to all this. You've got to understand physics and biochemistry and T cells and bacteria and viruses, but the transmission is basically the 2 meter rule, is because the droplets are quite heavy, so the virus comes out in a droplet from your mouth, and with any luck it'll just go splat on the floor, maybe the carpet, the supermarket floor, the pavement, and from there it will just die away. If it lands on someone, obviously you're going to catch it. And then the other thing that is a bit unsettling is that it can live on sort of invisibly, like an alien, on door handles, loo handles, trolley, supermarket trolley handles, you know, people's tables, you know, God knows the pole, the you know, when you're holding on to the rail in the tube or on the escalator. So it's sort of lurking out there, you just can't see it. But I thought it was worth looking into the transmission a bit.
Yeah, definitely. And that's why it is so uber infectious, because then that's presumably another reason why they want us to stay at home, so we're not touching lots of things that are infected.
Yeah.
And we're passing it on.
Yeah.
So I also looked at sort of looking at the droplets and the face masks, because there's been a lot of stuff in the press about how the face masks don't work. They're okay if you have the virus and you then can't pass it on, but if you don't have it, there's no point wearing one. So there was something in the Sunday Times this weekend which was talking about a new virostatic shield, which is in the shape of a snood.
Ooh.
And I bought two. They're 20 quid each.
Ooh, girl, that's a lot to spend.
I know. Well, one of them's going to be worn by one of my sons, who's hopefully going to be working at the local news agent. So he's going to wear one, and it's going to mold to his face. And they've, Imperial College have done this research where they pushed virus-infected air through them, and it stopped 96% of viruses.
God.
So what's your fashion view on wearing a white snood instead of a face mask?
Well, I think face mask is obviously not a fashion statement at all. So a snood is one step up from that, because that has been seen on the runways in Paris and Milan, not recently, of course. But a snood is basically, you know, it's a sort of tubular shaped scarf, like a cowl, you know, if you've got a jumper with a cowl neck, the snood is a bit like that. And so it's great to sort of tuck your head in on a cold day. I think fashion-wise, could actually be quite a neat accessory if you're wearing a winter coat. But a white snood that is virally sort of virus-proof is definitely more like a sort of medical piece of kit. And if you find doctors sexy, then maybe that's something that could be a good angle for your son, Mikey. But otherwise, I wouldn't say a snood's a very good look.
Okay. And while we're on the subject of Mikey, who came back via China yesterday into Heathrow, I'd like to mention something which I think is quite shocking in Britain, considering we're now on day one of lockdown. And yesterday we were all told that we had to social distance 2 meters apart. And on Monday, my daughter came back into Gatwick from Cambodia. She came out of the airport. She went into a big huddle, which is the kind of cattle market effect as you get to border control. Walked out the plane, having had numerous tests on her on the way out of Bangkok, where they took her temperature and all the rest of it. And she just walked out into Britain without a backward glance. And the same for my son the day before yesterday. So
it's terrible.
What's going on? I know.
That is terrible.
What's going on?
God,
I know, we've got no border control at all.
I can't believe it. They could have been covered in sores.
And why are they not even taking any notes on where they're going in case they are spreading the virus? Just really weird.
I mean, maybe it's something to do with the population size, because, I mean, 66 million people is a lot of people to keep your eye on.
Yeah, but there aren't that many flights coming through.
Well,
I mean, there's actually a statement, even though we've still got passengers arriving via China, Italy, Iran, Spain. We've even got direct flights still coming from Rome, BA and Iberia. There's a statement from a government spokesman which says there's no evidence that international closing borders or travel bans would have any effect on the spread of infection. Those who return to the UK would be advised to reduce their social contact and follow the same social distancing. That's all.
God, well, I don't think, if you're looking at it from a European point of view, I don't think the Brits have been at the head of the pack when it comes to limiting the spread of the virus. I think the Europeans have been much tougher.
And on the question of social distancing, you're now into day 9 of the lockdown.
Yes. So the socialites are getting very sort of agitated, because obviously, you know, their life was very much built around socialising, throwing parties, going to lunch parties, having coffee mornings, going to gallery openings, etc. So I'm rather horrified to see from a little WhatsApp group that I'm in that someone has said, "Hey, I had a digital cocktail party last night. Look at my Zoom a screenshot of my digital cocktail party." And she put up a picture of about 18 participants in her digital cocktail party on Zoom. And today I heard the same woman saying, "Why don't we do lunch on Zoom?" And then another person called me and said, "I'm thinking of having a drinks next week on Zoom." And I'm now getting seriously worried, because before, the old chestnut was, "Oh, that's so sweet of you. I'm actually going out, or I'm actually traveling, or I won't be here." But of course, that excuse has been removed, and everyone knows you're just confined to your house. So you've got to come up with something like, you know, "I am stuck on the loo," or I can't think of something that would mean you are unable to attend a social gathering on Zoom.
Oh, God, we've got all that to look forward to.
Yeah.
I think at the moment I'm the one that's suggesting them, so I am probably in a different camp to you altogether.
Yeah.
So, shall we wrap up for today, look forward to tomorrow, and when we're going to see Andrew.
Yeah.
And we'll have more fun and games when we meet up tomorrow.
Stay with us tomorrow for an upbeat view on this pandemic.